There are times in life when you meet people and when you hire people to do a job that you are absolutely certain they will be successful. It was in 1996 when a young dynamic couple walked into my office, and as he began to share his vision and his passion for the game of football and leading young men, it was with full confidence we hired Gus Malzahn to be the head football coach of the Shiloh Christian Saints. That day began a personal relationship with Gus that to this day is still alive and strong. You see, I have watched his high school players move him into a small rental home that was not, quite honestly, very much at all, and in the best of condition. And I saw him drive a beat-up old car that barely made it through the city of Springdale, Arkansas, all the way to being with him on the sidelines when he won his first state championship. And now today, after winning a national championship at Auburn University when he was the offensive coordinator, coaching Cam Newton, the award-winning quarterback, who for his elite performance and undefeated season won the highest award in college football, the Heisman Trophy. I have seen him take his first head coaching job at Arkansas State and then witnessed him being introduced in December of 2012 as the head football coach of the Auburn University Tigers. Yes, our guest today is the head football coach of the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn is a winner. He is a developer of people. He is a masterful recruiter. He is a mastermind in the game of football, where his influence exists from the high school level, college level, and he has even impacted even the National Football League. Stay tuned. Call a friend. Share this podcast. Hold on. Buckle up. Let's get ready. Let's roll. 22 minutes of leadership gold is coming your way.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Oh, I'm so very excited about Gus Malzahn being our guest today on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today. What a great personal privilege and a joy to have one of my greatest friends in the world, Gus Malzahn, the head football coach of the Auburn University Tigers, on our podcast today. He has coached both of my sons in their high school career, and the Floyd family loves the Malzahn family. Coach Malzahn, welcome to Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Hey, Pastor, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Gus. You know, Gus, you immediately accepted this invitation on this podcast. Quite honestly, I was shocked because I know every minute, every second in your life is dominated. Coach Malzahn, I want you to tell us what you have learned in your life about time management and its importance in the life of a leader.
Yeah, time management is real, real big in my business. You know, I'm a big routine guy, you know, especially during the season. I've got my day mapped out from 6 a.m. all the way to midnight, and we actually have a guy on staff that helps me stay on that routine and just every week making sure we make the most of it.
Yeah, and you don't get to sleep a lot during the season, do you, Coach?
I don't need much sleep now.
I remember you telling me one time, Pastor, this thing is so tight on this recruiting thing. You were keeping your phone on your chest on vibrate so you wouldn't wake Christy up even the night before signing day from year to year. Pretty amazing, Coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't miss any call, especially the night before signing day. And I still have that same routine today. I have that thing on my chest, and if somebody calls, and matter of fact, this last year I had a call at about 4:05 a.m. On signing day eve, so that's always important.
Well, coaches, you heard me recount just some of the past and some of the history we've shared together. Boy, it's kind of surreal, isn't it, to wake up every day and know that you are now the head football coach of the Auburn Tigers. I want you to talk to us about that. I mean, have you ever gotten over where you are in your life?
You know, especially when things slow down, you know, I'll be driving by the stadium sometimes. I've just got to pinch myself, you know, that, wow, I'm the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. I mean, it's just a kind of surreal feeling. You know, and me and you have talked about this before. It's just all about God's favor.
Sure.
And, you know, I look at my career and, you know, every situation, whether high school or college, I've been in the right situation at the right time. I look back and I've always had really supportive administration, which is important. I've always had great coaches around me. A lot of coaches really deserve a lot of credit for me being where I'm at. And then, of course, mm-hmm. this is a player's game. And I've been one blessed guy, whether it's high school or college, just to be able to coach great players. I mean, I tell people all the time, there's a lot of smarter coaches than me that just hadn't had the opportunity to be able to coach the great players that I've had. But it's all about God's favor. And I feel very, very blessed to be able to do what I do.
In Isaiah 51:1, I thought of you because it says, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were dug. You know, this means never forget where you came from and the place where God found you. Here's my question, Coach. Who are some of the people, are the places, are the experiences that have helped shape your life and your leadership that still impact your life today?
Yeah, you know, professionally, I look at the experiences first. I mean, it started out at Hughes High School, a small high school in eastern Arkansas that really nobody knew much about. And, you know, I was a Christian when I first started coaching, but I wasn't acting like a Christian.
Mm.
The Lord started to convict me about what I should be. In 1994, I rededicated my life to the Lord on the 50-yard line of Hughes High School Stadium. And that's when I started looking at coaches in my ministry, and that's when really everything changed for me.
Wow.
That year we went to the state championship game and, you know, almost won it, and really it opened the door for me to become the head coach at Shiloh Christian. You know, it was just a great time. I mean, it was 5 years. You know, my family, five of the best years we ever had was at Shiloh. And now looking back, there's just the accountability aspect. Being a young Christian coach, it just couldn't come at a better time for me, and really just laid a strong foundation for being a Christian coach the rest of my career. And then I talk about the people, and it's kind of funny you asked me that, because I was at an FCA event a couple weeks ago, and people say, well, you know, who influenced you? What was your biggest influence? Of course, some of them were coaches.
Sure.
But don't need to embarrass you, but you were a big influence, you know, in my career and my time. And just a couple things that really stood out to me is just watching you, is your vision. You were a dreamer. You had courage, and really more than anything, you had the ability to just engage people into that vision. And really, I took that, you know, my time at Springdale High School and then mm-hmm. to college, and that was just a great time, you know, looking back, and it was a very influential time in my career.
Yeah, well, you're very kind, Gus, and thank you. And we obviously give God the praise with you over what he's done in your life and even through those experiences. Coach Malzahn, every leader wins some, and every leader loses some, regardless of their profession. But how in the world do you deal with the losses and the disappointments? Because in reality, you may be in the last second lose a game before 87,000-plus people in your home stadium and millions of people watching on national television. And then the next week, you have Alabama or LSU coming to town. I mean, how in the world do you deal with this personally and with your team and pull yourself up and then pull your team up to face the next game?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The highs are high and the lows are low in this business. And, you know, one week you can be a genius and the next week you can be an idiot. And if you don't believe me, you can turn on ESPN and they'll tell you about it. But, you know, I really think a key to being successful is not getting too high or too low and finding a way to move on, whether it's a win or a loss. Obviously, when you lose, you know, your antennas are a little higher, but it really starts with you. It starts with you as a leader and just being able to put your big boy pants on and be that example. And really, I think it's very important to be that example for your staff first. Because after a big loss, that's the first thing on my mind. I've got to find a way to motivate my staff, because they're going to be the ones that the players are going to see. And then you got to find a way to motivate your players. And, you know, I think the big key is just putting the disappointment behind you. Sometimes you've got to readjust your goals. But you got to be all in, and it all starts, you know, with me.
Let's say that you have that devastating loss, and how long do you give yourself? Do you see yourself emerging back by Sunday afternoon when you start meeting on the game? or Monday? How long does it normally take you?
Well, you know, it really starts right after you get off the field, especially mm-hmm. if it's a big loss, and you just gotta have the wisdom and understand what you need to say to your team after mm-hmm. the game, and then you go into the media room, and you've got to really be thinking through the messaging as far as that goes, and then you go home, and that's usually when I've got time to really reflect and right. sit back and look at it just from a big picture standpoint. Mm-hmm. I'll sleep on it, and when I wake up that morning, I mean, I'm on go, and I've got my plan of how I'm going to address our staff, how I'm going to address our team, and not look back.
Yeah, what about winning? When you win, I mean, how long do you give yourself to celebrate? The night or not?
When I get in the locker room and we do a little celebrating, and that's over with, and mm-hmm. you're thinking about the next game. And there's times, especially when you get on a roll and you're yeah. winning a lot, sometimes mm-hmm. your antenna's got to be up even more than a loss, mm-hmm. and you got to find a way to motivate your team. And I remember, you know, in 2013 when we won the Iron Bowl in 2013 the way we did, and there was a lot of really it was a lot of distractions. They were good distractions, but we had the SEC championship
sure.
the next week.
That's right.
And every time you turn on a TV, there was a showing of Chris Davis running it back. So we turned off every TV in our complex. We turned off everything, you know, that didn't have anything to do with our SEC championship. And so that sometimes the winning is also a challenge.
Yeah, no question. It's hard to let folks get comfortable when they're doing well.
That's
and sometimes
right.
they
That's
get
right.
so confident they don't do the needed preparation. Well, Gus, I remember at Shiloh Christian School in Springdale, I remember one time when you walked in my office after your first season with us. You lost in the first round of the playoffs to a much more mature team than ours at that time. But I remember you asking me, hey, Pastor, what would you think about us running some kind of, I don't know what to call it, kind of a hurry-up, kind of never-huddling type of offense where we would use every second on the clock, wear teams down, try to create an advantage, and even teach the players the plays by maybe Bible characters or stories in the Bible, creating ways and calling the plays from the huddle or from the sideline and not the huddle, and the team just never huddles. And you did it, Coach. And that next season you went 15-0, winning your first ever state championship. That was a system that you implemented. And to this day, you have practiced using elements of this system, even though much more mature, obviously, offensively, which has ignited your career, your reputation. So, Coach Malzahn, doesn't matter whether a guy's in a business, doesn't matter if he's in a church, doesn't matter if he's in an education, or he's a football coach like you, how important is a system in leading a team and accomplishing your desired goals?
You know, I just think, first of all, you got to truly believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, you got to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we first started the Hurry Up, No Huddle, I'd go around the country speaking, and people would, you know, hey, come back and say, yeah, I tried it, but, you know, I just couldn't get over this. Of course, they weren't successful.
Right.
And I said, whatever you're going to do, if you're going to do it, be all in. And I think another thing is you can't listen to the doubters.
That's right.
Because if you have a new idea or something that is a little bit unique or different, unusual, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be criticized.
So many leaders have to create a system and get committed to the system. And so all of you today that are out there leading whatever you're leading in your organization, you got to create your way, and you have to be so committed to it that you do it. And, you know, Coach, one of the big issues in leadership, I don't care what a man does or a woman does leading an organization, is hiring the right staff and developing that staff and leading them every day through the good and the bad. What have you learned about hiring staff and developing them and leading them?
Yeah, you know, Pastor, the older I get, the more I understand the importance of who I hire. It's probably one of the most, if not the most important jobs that I have as a leader, is who I hire. And, you know, finding the right fit, that the right philosophy, you know, we always talk about alignment, and yeah. there's just something special about a staff when the staff is in a line, and you know it, and you mm-hmm. know it, whether it's not or it is. And I'm always looking for men of character. You know, I tell our coaches the first thing I want them to do is be great examples for our players. Right. And, you know, as a coach, you know, I know my coach has had great influence over me. And so I want our guys to understand that. Then I want team guys. You know, in this profession, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of egos. And if you can get team guys in this profession, you have a great advantage. And we definitely have that. And then hard workers. I mean, there's nothing that, you know, can really change being a hard worker. I mean, if you got a hard worker that has that mentality.
You know, in the world of business, are creating organization, building organizations, recruiting talent to work within an organization. I mean, it can really ascend it greatly. But in your business of college football, I mean, recruiting is the difference between winning and losing. Recruiting is one of the most important things you do, or it may even be the most important thing you do. But yeah. How do you recruit great student athletes to play football for you at Auburn University?
Well, first of all, we're very blessed to be here at Auburn. It's a great place to recruit to. You know, you get a great education here. It's a great opportunity to win championships. You know, we actually won a national championship in 2010, should have won one in 2013. So we're one of the few schools in the country that this current day and time, we've actually been there and done that. And it's a great place to live. And, you know, I always tell our coaches in recruiting, let's make sure that we're honest, we're up front. We're consistent, and the more that, you know, the people and the parents are around us, the better feel they get. And I felt like, you know, the honesty and the transparency will attract the right type people. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, our players are happy. And the reason they're happy is we were honest with them recruiting. So that's usually your best recruiting sell, you know, that you can have is your actual players. And we've been real blessed to have 5 top 10 recruiting classes in a row.
Well, Coach Malzahn, you're a man who is committed to doing things not just the right way, but God's way. I know it must be a challenge at times for you personally in your spiritual life, but also a challenge to lead others in a way that is permissible in today's culture. But Gus, at Auburn University, you have developed a culture that is not ashamed of spiritual things. Tell us how you have done this.
Probably FCA. You know, Brother Chet Williams really heads up our FCA. He's one of the top guys in the country on the college level and just really is very important to our whole university. And, you know, FCA is obviously is optional, but, you know, most of our players are big time in it. And it's just the type of atmosphere that, you know, I can be who I am too. I don't have to be somebody I'm not. I got a lot of head coaching buddies that have to be somebody they're not.
Right.
Here at Auburn, you know, I can be who I am, and I really have a comfort with that.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I tell leaders at times, whether it's a guy in the business world or maybe a pastor considering a move, I always say, listen, one of the most important things is that you are relevant contextually to where you go. We far undersell the importance of being in the right context to create success around you. You've been amazing. And I'm, again, Ronnie Floyd interviewing Coach Gus Malzahn. And my final question to you, Gus, is this. The world is changing rapidly. And college football is no exception to that. In fact, college football is changing endlessly. What do you do as a leader that helps you and your team, you and your staff team mainly, adjust to this culture of endless change and ongoing change?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, things are changing very quick. You know, I look at 5 years ago, recruiting-wise, I mean, kids are different than they were 5 years ago. Of course, you know, I feel like the main reason is social media. And, you know, I think social media is really has changed, you know, everything. And so I'm constantly trying to find ways to educate our staff on what's important to young people this day and time. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, come talk to our team a few weeks back. And it was real interesting the things he was saying. You know, the attention spans of young people is just so short now. And there's so much immediate response with that they're used to, and they're visual learners. And so, you know, just staying on that cutting edge of understanding you know, recruits and understanding what's important to them so you can relate to them. Of course, for me, you know, from a coach's standpoint, I'm always thinking about the distractions, you know.
Right.
And I know social media for me is very important recruiting, but at the same time, It can also be a distraction if I'm on the internet checking things, because it's kind of an addictive thing. And I know that last year I actually turned off my social media during the season, and it made things a lot cleaner for me, and it was really good for me. But I think that's the biggest thing, at least in my profession, of just understanding your recruits and what you're and how they operate.
Do you monitor the social media to some degree of athletes you're considering recruiting, or even coaches that you're considering hiring?
You can find out so much. I mean, nowadays young people will share everything.
Sure.
And you can find out their character. You can find out their girlfriend. And so, we definitely keep up with that. And then at the same time, no doubt, when you're hiring a coach or hiring an off-the-field person, we're going to start with their social media, and it'll tell you a whole lot.
Oh, it really will. Well, thank you, Coach Gus Malzahn, for being on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership today. You have been absolutely amazing. And to all of you today, this is a podcast not just for lovers of sports, but for everyone. I mean, can you imagine sitting down in a room with your team at your business or whatever organization you lead, or perhaps you have a sports team, and just listen to this podcast together? Can you imagine what might happen to the people in the organization you lead as you lift out some of the dynamic leadership principles you have heard about today and appropriate them and translate them and transfer them into what you do and how you lead? I mean, from time to time, managing people, winning and losing, how do you get back up when you don't reach a desired goal, dealing with a staff member, recruiting staff, recruiting players on the team, to implementing systems and staying committed to them, to dealing with constant change, creating a culture where people can literally do more than just survive, but actually thrive. I mean, there are all kinds of lessons that we've discussed today. And why is this important? I'll tell you why it's important, because I believe people change the world. You can do this. And as you lead and influence others, as well as live a life that is an example to others, determine this today. I want to change my world. So go and change the world this week.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.